little slow on the uptake there. Luke 14:28, for which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. For a few minutes this morning, I want us to consider, what price are you willing to pay? This evening, to give you a preview of this evening's lesson, we are going to look at developing a life of faith. I think the two lessons will tie in together, but it is so important that we build a strong faith. So what price are you willing to pay? What price are you willing to pay for a house? What price are you willing to pay for a new car or a new truck? I'm not in the market for a house right now, but we are in the market for new used vehicles. I think they're both at the point we need to make a change. We found someone that's going to sell us their car when they find another one. And I've been looking at trucks and can't believe how much they cost for a used one. A used one. So I have to come up in my mind, what price am I willing to pay? These are decisions probably everybody here has made. How much are they going to pay for a house? How much are they going to pay for transportation? How much are you willing to pay for your salvation? We don't think about that as much. How much are you willing to pay to keep your salvation? You know, we can lose it. We can lose our house. We can lose our car. We can lose our salvation. Some people say, once saved, always saved. Bible doesn't say that. And whatever I tell you, it's not going to be what I think or feel, but we're going to look at what God has to say about things. So, just using this to start off with, the example of a truck and a house, there's an entry cost to get it to purchase these. With the truck, when they say it's only X amount, it's only X amount sitting on that lot. But then when I take it home, there's going to be additional cost. I'm going to have to pay for fuel. I'm going to pay for insurance, for repairs, for tires, for brakes. I remember one time there was a discussion about giving somebody some money, and he said, I can't give anything. My brakes need fixed, and I'm going to have to buy brakes. And I thought, that's an excuse. You know, we plan how we spend our money. Anyway, tires, brakes. The air conditioner is going to go out. We're going to need to get the air conditioner fixed sometime. Our vehicle may break down. We're going to have it towed. There's washing, detailing. There's all kinds of expenses that go into something as simple as a truck. With a house, there's the price for the house. There's utilities. There's insurance. There's property tax, property updates, property repairs. Some places, homeowner association fees, lawn care. And with these two, with a truck and with a house, we recognize each year these costs are going to keep going up. We understand that. We expect that. The insurance on my house is going to cost more each year. The property taxes is going to cost more each year. But then when we come to salvation, do we consider the cost? Do we consider what it costs, that entry cost? And do we consider that ongoing cost? Sometimes we need to ask ourselves this. We talk about becoming a New Testament Christian and these things that are important to do to become a Christian. But friends, that is just the entry cost. That gets us into the game. That gets us where we need to start. Hebrews 5:12 says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. So by this phrase, For though by this time it implies that things are to change as time goes on, we aren't to be ones that just desire milk all the time. We are to grow up. We are to desire solid food. It's interesting with our latest grandbaby, and they're all the same, but there's just something about a baby. You want to stick your finger in their mouth, and they start gumming it, and then they start, you feel that tooth in there, and then they want to start eating. They want to start eating, and we expect that. How are we spiritually? Are we still on the milk, or do we want the meat? Let's look at our text in Luke 14:25. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." He's going to give several different qualifications. He's going to give several different costs of being a disciple of God, of Christ. One of the first ones is realizing my life is my life. I've got to, this phrase, hate his father and mother. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, this is not that, he's not talking about being angry with them, but we are to love them less than we love God. We are to love them less than we love Christ. Christ says, "I want you to do this." Mom and Dad say they want me to do this. Which one do I choose? If anyone comes to me and does not love his father and mother less, his wife and children, my wife wants me to do this. Christ wants me to do this. What am I going to do? He cannot be my disciple. Verse 28, "For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" We see that as we drive around from place to place. Somebody will start developing a plat. They buy the land, they put in roads, they get water sewers put in, a couple houses, and then you see a bunch of foundations there. And it'll set like that. They did not sit down and can first consider the cost, whether we are able to finish it. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else while the other one is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. This is just a silly illustration. That may not be the right word, but when you stop and think about what he's saying, this king wants to go war against this other one, so he declares war, and when he goes out to declare war, this other king has twice as many people, and he's, I better send out somebody to make peace so they don't kill us. So verse 33, "So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near him to hear him. So notice, "So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." What price are we willing to pay to be a disciple of Christ? As we talk about on Wednesday evening, we've got to prioritize. Prioritize. It's nothing new. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. So there's a price behind everything that is worthwhile. The things that are good do not come free. And we should not expect something for nothing. We realize that in everyday life. But then we talk, we've got family, friends, we see people that expect the greatest thing there is, eternal life. Life around the throne of God in heaven where there's no suffering, no pain, no sorrow, no heartache. And they expect that for basically nothing. For nothing. So let's consider a few things this morning and ask, what is the price you are willing to pay? What is the price you are willing to pay for your pardon? The price we pay is to do God's will instead of my will. Matthew 6:10 says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's Christ's kingdom. It's his will. And if we want our sins to be forgiven, we have to follow the king. To be forgiven our sins, we must submit to him. We must live a life of purity, a life of righteousness, live a life of sacrifice, be a living sacrifice daily. These are just a few of the conditions to our pardon from our death sentence. We understand that in the justice system, somebody may receive a pardon, but there are conditions attached. We have received a pardon from the king, from the judge, but there are conditions that are attached. Are we willing to pay the cost for pardon? How about the price for greatness? What is the price that we pay for greatness? It's service. Again, it's the opposite of what the world expects. Matthew 20:27, whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. So sometimes you'll see, you start talking to somebody and within a few minutes they let you know what their position is in some company. Yeah, I'm vice president of this company and I've got 100 people underneath me that answer to me. Or this or that. Or you see in religion, you see men or women put on these robes to elevate themselves for people to serve them. Greatness is not derived from office, position, or uniform, but from service. You want to be great in the kingdom? You do something for somebody else. What's the price for greatness? It's service. It's humility. Whoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 18:4. And Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Are you willing to pay that price for greatness? How about the price for friends? Are you willing to pay the price for friends? To have friends? Proverbs 18:24. Man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. It's one of those things that just makes common sense. If you want to have friends, you got to be friends to somebody else. It's not hard to make friends, but we've got to be, the second point, unselfish. Many times we are so selfish doing things for me, me, me. We don't have time to serve others, or we don't have time to make friendships. Philippians 2:4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. And just a little side point, when you get to know somebody, you know, there are just certain pat phrases that people do. You meet somebody, hi Joe, hi Sam, nice to meet you. So what do you do for a living? And a lot of times asking somebody what their job is one of those questions. You can tell them, or they back and forth, whatever. something to follow that up with is you just say, that's interesting. Tell me how you came to get that job. And a lot of times people will go back, they'll tell you their whole life story because they think you're interested in them. And we should be interested in them. But ask them questions about how you got here, how you did this, instead of what do you do? You tell somebody, what do you do? And then that ends the conversation. There's lots of ways to get people to open up, to get to know them, for them to know you, and to build friendships. Treat others as you wish to be treated. Matthew 7:12, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Again, common sense. Well, are we willing to pay the price for friends? Talking about paying price, a lot of us would like to have money. A lot of us would like to accumulate money. What is the price for financial accumulation? Some people will say, buy a lottery ticket. You buy a lottery ticket, you go down here to the casino, go to Hollywood Casino, you do this. Hey, my buddy's got this business he wants me to get into. He wants, you got some money you can put into this. What's the price to pay for financial accumulation? People don't like this word. It's work. It's work. Ephesians 4:28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. So God wants us to have money. It's a tool. When we have money, there are basically three things that we do with that money. We give some to God, we give it back, we take care of our family, and then we share with others who need it. The price for financial accumulation, Proverbs 6, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer, gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. Friends, we live in a society that is so self-centered, pleasure-centered, anti-work-centered. We need to understand that God created us to work and to be busy. What's the price for financial accumulation? So back in my 20s, I spent a little bit of time in the house of a realtor, and I thought she was this really old woman. She was probably about the age that I am now, but I was in the 20s, so she seemed a lot older. And she would give me friendly advice about this and that. And she said, Bruce, you want to know how to have a lot of money? I said, okay, how do you go about getting a lot of money? She said, spend less than you make and do that for a long time. And when you're older, you'll have a lot of money. And this woman was a realtor. And her house, you drive by and think nothing of it. It was a brick ranch, a modest brick ranch. Her car that she drove, a modest car. But she understood and was trying to get the point across to me to save money. Save money. Don't go out and spend, spend, spend. I've heard another person told me about when he was at work and everybody would get a raise, and he said, you know, Bruce, what everybody else would do? They'd go out, they'd buy new furniture, new car, this, that. He didn't do that. And later in life, he had money. And what did everybody else have? Debt. Friends, a loan officer is not your friend. That doesn't mean that you cannot borrow money. That means do not get into debt that you cannot pay. Limit your debt. Proverbs 22:7, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. You got that, Mara? The price for financial accumulation, be thrifty. The prodigal wasted. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. See, we can have nothing, we can get a whole lot, and then you turn around and waste it. We aren't going to pay the price. There's a price to pay for everything. Anything worth having, there's a price to pay. Proverbs 18:9, he who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. So these are like this proverb talking about two twins. One is destruction, and the other one is this lazy person at work. How about knowledge? Do you want to know God's word? What price are you willing to pay for knowledge? You know, it's not like back in the New Testament when people spoke by inspiration. It's not like that today. John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. See, the apostles had the Holy Spirit directly telling them what to say. That's how they got knowledge, other than studying the Old Testament scriptures. But we don't have that today. We must study, study. 2 Timothy 1:5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Notice Peter mentions diligence. Paul mentions diligence. The price for knowledge, Psalm 1, we're to meditate on God's word day and night, over and over and over. But what's the price for spiritual strength? The requirements are similar for spiritual strength as they are for physical strength. We need food, we need exercise, and we need time. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If we don't have food, we aren't going to grow. And the converse of that, the more food we have, the more we are going to grow. This gives us freedom from spiritual disease or sin. We must feed on the word. We must desire it. We must exercise. It's not enough just to read God's word. We've got to go do it. We exercise. And it takes time. We aren't going to go from a baby to a mature Christian overnight. But we need to be on that path, growing each day. Growing each day. We need to pray at night when we say our last prayer for the night. And Lord, help me be better. Help me do better tomorrow than I did today. We can't be satisfied with the status quo. It's just like the house. We've lived there 10 years. Our property taxes are more now than they were 10 years ago. Our insurance is more than it was 10 years ago. The utilities are more than it was 10 years ago. But I want to keep that house, so I'm willing to pay the price. But it costs more each year. I want to keep my salvation, but it's probably going to cost more each year, because the closer we get to leaving this world, the more Satan is going to tug on us to get us to go back into the world. The price for heaven, we live for Christ, abide in Christ, and we die in Christ. Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. John 15:6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and it is withered, and men gathered them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. In Revelation 4:13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. So the question then becomes, are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to pay the price for pardon? Are you willing to pay the price for greatness? Are you willing to pay the price for friends? Are you willing to pay the price for financial accumulation, for knowledge, for strength? Are you willing to pay the price for heaven? Friend, you can have, you cannot have everything. We can have heaven, but at the expense of giving up the world. Or we can have the world, but at the price of giving up heaven. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Friends, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Are you willing to pay the price? We need to stop and think about that. I'm speaking to myself. Am I willing to pay the price? I'm the only one that I have control over. I have to consider, am I doing what I need to be doing so that I can keep my salvation and look forward to going home with Christ? Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.